Selassie will be back next week at 2 following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And stay tuned for Back of the Book that follows immediately. 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 a.m. Where are we? Right there, sir.
99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I'm calculating that it's in the vicinity of 5 a.m., and you're listening to all, let's hope this isn't our last radio program, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Morton. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
This is our 171st pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story of the past week in various multiverses and fictional figments is... we have lost a follower, but we still have the huge total of 126 followers on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, April 10th, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. There will possibly be an executive session, closed session meeting of the local station board next week sometime. Can't say much about that. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has their CDC website, and it says that as of their last reading, the death toll in America from COVID-19 was 1,186,671. Which means that 1,258 people have died from COVID-19 since our last program a week ago. That's something more than 200 more than the previous week. So it's a little bit up, but it was a little bit down by around that much last time. So I guess maybe it's just evening out at this point. I still think the weather's having a good effect on slowing the spread of COVID-19. Now we're in spring, it'll do it even more. The people who are oblivious to COVID-19 because they think that the pandemic is over, they may be having the opposite effect. The pandemic is clearly not over. Pickles of the North and I are mostly still keeping our masks on. We've gotten our new shots. We may get the booster shots sometime soon. We don't want to get COVID-19 or COVID-24 or whatever the hell they're going to rename it someday. So some judges who must like Donnie Bonespur Trump have reduced his $454 million bond that he needed to post by this past Monday for the trial that he lost over his fraudulent practices. They've reduced that to a mere $175 million. And they gave him 10 days to cough up the dough. I don't know if that fine is still growing by about $112,000 in interest every day. I hope it is. And thing is, Trump just sold his stupid phony baloney social media site for some absurd amount of money, so he can easily afford the full bond now. And then that social media site, I think there's some manipulation going on there, because I think there are people who are wealthy beyond their capacity to handle it, who are involved in all of this, and the valuation is there, and they're buying it, and they're pumping it up. Obviously, there's a political reason for pumping it up, and also for giving Trump all that money, because he's been spending all of his campaign cash on lawyers. Speaking of which, one of his now, I think, ex-lawyers, I don't know if he is. Maybe he's an ex-lawyer of Trump's. Maybe he's not. This John Eastman guy, he's one of the guys who gave – he's the main guy who gave Trump the idea that, hey, Vice President Pence can decide to stop President Biden from being elected simply by announcing it. And, oh, boy, that guy, you know, is really a big part of the spur – for people to have the January 6th insurrection. And, well, John Eastman, a professor of law, is probably going to have his license to be a lawyer revoked in the state of California. That'll be good. He should. He should probably go to prison, too. Speaking of which, one of Trump's pals, Navarro, has gone to prison, not for much of a sentence, but at least he's going behind bars for some amount of time, and he isn't going to be able to erase that fact from any record he has. Not that that really matters for that kind of person. In other news regarding Donnie Bonespur Trump and serious legal problems, on April 15th, he goes on trial for that hush money payment he made to a porn star in preparation for the 2016 election. That's a criminal trial, so he has to be there, and the judge has issued a limited gag order restricting Trump's public statements about people involved with the criminal hush money case ahead of next month's trial. That's going to be interesting. It will be the first time a former American president of the United States has gone on to a criminal trial. Another first for Donnie Bonespur Trump. And yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing. I'm sure Trump will continue trying to wiggle out of even having to be there. Oh, I got to go campaign for president. Yeah, well, bleep you. And so, yeah, this stuff is going to go on. It's so awful. It is just awful, awful stuff. Meanwhile, speaking of running for president, there was this police officer who was shot by someone, some career criminal, and two cops go up to a car that's illegally parked in a bus stop, and they go up, and the guy pulls a gun and starts shooting. And he kills one of the cops. And so they had that cop's funeral, and then they had a wake for the cop, and Trump shows up. And Trump is grandstanding all the way. he also starts doing speeches after it and holds a press conference in front of it. Jesus Christ, this is, and people say, oh, this is him showing respect. No, it's not. If you're showing respect for somebody, you don't turn their wake into a goddamned whistle stop in your presidential campaign. And that's what this became. He has no feeling for the cop. How, and people protesting it include the relatives of a cop who died from the January 6th insurrection. They say, hey, what about him? Trump wants to, if Trump gets elected, he says he's going to free and dismiss charges against all of the insurrectionists who were arrested for what they did January 6th, 2021. So Trump is not showing respect for police when he does that. He's just seizing a photo op so that he could say, hey, look at me. I'm the law and order president. How could he be the law and order president? He's on trial in a criminal case. Then there are other criminal cases. He had a total of 91 criminal charges against him. He's the law and order president? Nonsense. Speaking of wealthy convicted criminals, and we hope soon to be convicted criminals, we talked about this Sam Bankman-Fried character on the last program. He was convicted of all this theft back in November. And here it is March, and he's finally getting around to being sentenced. Yeah, he's wealthy. His parents are wealthy. And they finagled letting him stay at home for part of his pretrial detention until it was discovered he was using his being out in the world to try and do stuff to witnesses. Oh, that got the feds to say, okay, come here. Gray Bar Hotel for you for a while, pal. And so he's been sentenced and he's gotten a mere 25 years for stealing billions of dollars. Now, people get that if they steal like thousands of dollars. How come he gets this very short, relatively, sentence? Originally, the charges could have gotten him 110 years in jail. The prosecutors were very nice and were saying, give him 40 or 50 years in jail. The judge has decided to cut that in half and give him a stinking lousy 25 years. Now, Bernie Madoff got 125 years in jail, which guaranteed he would never get out of prison. This guy should get the same thing. He should have gotten the whole 110 years, I think. And he's only, what is he, 32 or something. So with this, he's going to be, 25? He's going to be in his 50s when he gets out. So what the hell? Jesus. It's very annoying when wealthy people get to manipulate things like this. Meanwhile, you have other people doing the same amount of time for much less crime. And this guy did a lot of crime. And I think this is yet another instance of a miscarriage of justice based on the fact that this guy's parents are wealthy and connected, and that's how it works. Very bad, and at least it's going to go to jail for 25 years. And I am thinking right now, there was a story on BAI years ago about this guy who had been put in prison. He spent 29 years in prison for stealing a chicken. And he had done this. He was black, and this huge crime was committed in the South. And so he ended up doing 29 years before people were able to get him out of there. They would have kept him there longer, except there was a hue and cry of people saying, wait a minute, look at this. and NWBAI played a bit of a role in that. And so that guy gets 29 years for stealing a chicken, and this Bankman-Fried character gets only 25 years for stealing billions of dollars, you know, bankrupting other people, stealing people's retirement savings entirely, and just generally doing fraud and engaging in illegal election funding activities. You know, he used his money to try and influence elections. And he also was bribing a government official in China to give him something. So this Sam Bankman-Fried, he's probably going to be transported to whatever prison they're going to put him in soon. I wonder if he's going to be put in a prison where his mommy and daddy could just go in there easily and see him, because they live in California. He was prosecuted in New York. Are they going to give him that? Are they going to send him to some federal prison somewhere in or near New York? Or is he going to go to California, someplace that's convenient for mommy and daddy to ride their limo in and go up and see Sonny? How are you doing, Sonny? Oh, well, I'm here with all the other criminals. And they don't like me. Well, some of them will like him. Some of them will like him. I mean, con men are considered, you know, okay guys in prison. And he is a con man. He scammed a lot of people out of all of their money. So, yeah, some criminals will like him. On the other hand, maybe somebody's mother got all of her retirement savings stolen by him. So that could end up with a different result for him. Yeah, yeah. Injustice all over the place.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
So there was an event in Dubai last month, or was it 2 months ago? I forget. And at this event called Deep Fest, and people are all up in arms all over the place about AI and all of this. AI is a big topic at this point in time, and the whole hue and cry is, oh no, the robots are going to take over. I must say, as I've said before, I, for one, welcome our future AI overlords and will support them in every way. In any event, so there's all this stuff about they're going to take over and all of this. Well, there may be something that happened at this event in Dubai called Deep Fest, because this thing that happened, maybe this is what everybody has to worry about. In that particular event, a robot named Mohammed is reported to have groped a female reporter during an interview. Now, I don't know. I suspect that what's really happened here is that the robot was moving around and bumped into her. On the other hand, you could really make quite a bit of amusement on this with the idea that the robots are now getting horny and are, you know, groping women and stuff like that. You could make quite a bit of comedy about that. If we had the time, I would. But I will note that there was a science fiction TV show in the 50s that had it was black and white, and it might have been done live. And it was the sets were kind of dreary and odd looking to me as a kid. And basically, the crux of it was there was a robot that was getting all hot and bothered about a woman. And she was the quarry girl. The robots were being trained, and they had to hunt down people. And they were training with her, and she was to run and hide and evade the robots, and they were supposed to finally catch her, or at least show where she was so the humans could capture her. And so she was called the Quarry Girl. And, geez, I'm remembering this stuff. This is This is definitely well over 60 years ago. And anyway, so they're running around in there. And the thing is, the robot is now having feelings for this woman. I can understand that kind of thing. I sort of remembered this particular TV show when I suddenly started having feelings for women myself when I was 34 years old. I've gone into that enough in the past. I'm not going into it now. But when this happened in the 50s and I saw that particular TV show, I was young enough that I just couldn't figure out what the hell was going on in the little story. You know, I'm seeing the guy is running after, robots, and this is going to be good. My parents are watching it, and they did not elucidate for me what the hell was really going on. That, you know, it was this thing of, can we create what we would now call artificial intelligence that will be so much like human beings that they'll be interested in sex with people. And, So, yeah, I was a kid, and I was, it's a science fiction story I'm getting to watch. My parents didn't like it, didn't like science fiction. They were really obsessed with Westerns. And they had plenty of Westerns in the 50s to watch on TV. And they watched every one of them, I think, or damned near every one of them. In any event, so yeah, I was a kid and I was watching this and I could not understand it because then they start speak. It's the 50s, so they can't say, hey, the robot got a boner. You know, he wants to screw her. They couldn't say that in the 50s, so they have to say things and be subtle about it. And they probably discussed it has feelings, but they would get around to that eventually. They didn't get right to it. So and even then, has feelings, you know, when you're a young kid, like 8 years old or some damn thing, you may not get that, at least in those days. These days, I think 8-year-olds would get that because they're exposed to a lot of things that some adults weren't exposed to when I was a kid in the 50s. In any event, this reminded me of that, the story about the robot, or AI as we call them now, who suddenly starts getting interested in this woman in a non-robotic way. Yes, there are a lot of men who are interested in women who are behaving in a robotic way, but that's a different story we won't get into right now. Thing is, this is going to become another sort of scare story in the background. AI, now they all is after our women folk. So yeah, this is going to come up somewhere as a big horrifying thing, but I strongly suspect it's simply that the robot was flailing about a bit and bumped into her.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
So we're going to have to announce this now because we're preempted next week. We're preempted as part of the 52-week pitching schedule, and I don't know what they're going to put in here. I don't know if it's going to be more snake oil or another Madame Blavatsky extravaganza, but they're going to put something else in here. And this is the way it's been going for a couple of years here. You're on for a while and you're off for a while. And so we're not going to be able to announce the eclipse, which is happening on April 8th. There's going to be a total eclipse of the sun on April 8th. And this is part of a pair of eclipses that are happening that you're going to be able to see in the United States of America and also part of Mexico this year. The previous one we had, and we talked about it, and Pickles and I went to Coney Island, and we observed it down there. We did it safely, and Pickles has picked up our brand new eclipse glasses.
Yes, and if you're a member of the public library, or even if you're not, you can go to your local branch, and they're giving out free solar eclipse viewing glasses. So hurry, because you don't have a lot of time left to get those babies.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to get this eclipse. And in New York City, it's going to be total, but there's a narrow path of totality. And so in New York City, we'll get about 90% of a total eclipse, which is still quite impressive. And so we're hoping that it's not going to be raining. It is happening in April, and April is very rainy. April showers bring May flowers. And we're hoping that we'll be able to see it and all of that. And we're hoping I'll be able to get my fat, flabby old ass out the door to go see this. Otherwise, I don't know what we're going to do.
Oh, you're getting your butt out the door. Let me tell you that right now.
Well, we're going to see. We're going to hope I can do it. But since we're not on next week, we figure we ought to just mention it here. And, of course, make sure you get those glasses. Get them from the library if you can, because I saw a thing on TV about how some people are selling for money. The ones in the library are for free. Some people are selling what they're calling eclipse glasses, but it's just ordinary cardboard with some colored cellophane pasted into it, and they will not protect your eyes. The big deal here is if you stare at a solar eclipse, you're going to be focusing the sun's light right on your fovea. And that's the part of your eye that you see detail with and you read with. And, you know, if you're trying to do anything and you really look at something, you're using the fovea. And if you burn that, you're going to be some kind of blind from it. It may not totally blind you to where everything is black, but it might be that you could never read again. And it might be that you will never do anything precisely again because you can't see small things like print or a screw for a screwdriver or stuff like that. And as someone who has now got macular degeneration, which also messes up your vision in that exact area, I can say that it's really a drag to not be able to see things to read very easily. And, oh boy, I have to have these special reading glasses now and all that. So it's very important that you make sure you get these good eclipse glasses instead of getting ripped off by these crappy glasses made in China by people who are going to try and make a quick buck on it. What you do is you test the glasses. How do you test them? Well, you can look at like a bright light in a room, and if you use the glasses to look at it, the light should be extremely dim. In some cases, it won't even show anything at all, and that will be an indication that the glasses are blocking a lot of the light, and it's very important that you do that. So be careful with the eclipse and have fun with it. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And, of course, we'll say hopping oyster to people who celebrate hopping oyster, and that's coming up tomorrow. And Pickles of the North has a few things to tell us about oyster.
Yes, and once again, it's a little reading from a Dictionary of Superstitions, from the Ridiculous to the Sublime by Sophie Lazon and André Pascal Gautier, translated by Amy Reynolds. And these are superstitions people had in the Middle Ages. Hopefully not today, but one never knows. Superstitions are still pretty popular. Holy Sunday is Easter, the day that commemorates Christ's resurrection. It falls between March 22nd and April 25th. Children born on this day are particularly lucky. In the morning, winged bells, whose sounds ward off demons, return from Rome carrying eggs for children. I must say, I have never heard this particular myth.
Silver bells that
winged,
fly?
Winged bells. They're bells with wings on them, and they fly, and they drop eggs for the children. Look out below! Well, ding, ding, ding.
This makes perfect sense, of course. Organized superstition can really be amusing sometimes.
They let their gifts fall in gardens and houses. Then the gifts must be looked for or, you know, avoided. This day is therefore a time of merrymaking. Hard-boiled eggs, painted red in memory of Christ's blood, were given to children. Thus began the custom of decorating Easter eggs. Oh, I wonder if that's so. That sounds like a horrible origin story. On Easter morning, the sun dances as it comes up over the horizon, and a lamb appears in the sky. Watch out for those bells, lamb!
Watch out for what the lamb drops on you, too.
Whoa! This day of feasting concludes the Lenten season. New clothes for the year are worn on this day. Holy water from Easter Sunday cures all illnesses.
We see still a lot of this happening today. You wear your best clothing on Easter. Oh, I remember that when I was a kid. You know, my parents said, oh, we have to go to Bonds in downtown Brooklyn and get you fitted out in your Easter suit. And I had suits when I was a little kid, and they would dress me up in those. And I will go to my grandmother's house, and they would hide, you know, candy around the place. And they had to put our names on it because there were three kids. And for a while, there were only two kids. And, well, if you just said, okay, kids, start looking, I would start, you know, running around looking every place and grabbing. And my cousin would sit there with her fingers in her mouth and start to cry. So
it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful tradition.
Yeah, yeah. And so eventually, when there were three kids, eventually, they put your name on something. And so you couldn't take it if it didn't have your name on it. So, oh, God, I didn't like that part. I preferred the idea that I can grab the stuff better than anybody else can, so I should get what I can grab. That's what this is about, right? Eh. Anyway, so I was like a little kid. And so actually we have a photograph of me at one of those. I wonder if we could dig that out and post it on the website. We'll see. I'm not sure if we can find that or get it scanned in, but we'll see. Maybe we can put that up there. And all of this stuff comes from previous superstitions that were organized by people thousands of years before Christianity showed up or any of the Abrahamic superstitions showed up. And they were probably done by people in Pinnacle Point, maybe even. Although I must say, it's possible that people ran into it, and some of this comes from Neanderthal superstitions. We know they had them because the way they buried people with grave goods and all, you don't put valuable things in with a dead body and throw dirt on it. And they didn't have coffins for the Neanderthals. They buried their dead, but they threw in valuable stuff with them. And this is not something you do unless you think there's some afterlife that they're going to. So these things with the egg and the rabbits, hello, Easter Bunny, and all of that, that stuff's very old and what's called pagans by the Abrahamic superstitions. And it's extremely old. So, yeah, it's not as if Christianity invented coloring eggs. Probably this happened long before Christianity showed up. And the blood of Christ, my godlessness, it's such a... what an amazing superstition to base so much on bloody imagery. Ugh.
Well, yeah, it got glommed onto. Christianity got glommed onto these very, very ancient celebrations of the goddess and fertility and renewal. And that's why you could end up having rabbits who are very, what's the word? Is it fecund? Is that how you say it?
Fecundo. Well, also, well, they are, but also the eggs and all. And, of course, it also predates Judaism because they glommed onto stuff as well. It's just, you know, there were these superstitions and people changed them a little bit. For the main reason that a lot of what religion is about is controlling other people. So, oh yeah, there's this stuff that these people are doing over here. Gee, I could control the people around me a lot better if I change things and put myself in a position where I can say that the great gods like me. Hey, you know what? There was this guy named Abraham a while ago, and I'm descended from him, and go on with that kind of crap. Let's write a book about it. Except we're going to write three different versions of it and put all the versions in one after another in many places. Oh, well. Anyway, so yes, organized superstition is going to reign this weekend. Here's something I've been doing for a while, and I'm going to start incorporating it in the program a little bit. Project Gutenberg is a place online where you can read books that are out of copyright, and all sorts of books up there, great ones too. And new books are, well, not new books, but books are falling out of copyright and entering the public domain all the time now. And so you can get some really good books up there. I am going to put a recommendation on my webpage for this program for a book that I have been reading this past week or two. So you can look for that. It's about steamships. Oh, we're running out of time, so I just wanted to mention that Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse down by Baltimore there. Oh, man. Jeez, you know, infrastructure has been falling apart in America for decades and decades. We had that, what was it, Minneapolis, where they had a bridge just fall apart at one point with people on it. They were lucky that this ship, this gigantic, heavily laden container ship, was having its problem at like 1:30 in the morning. And so there weren't that many people on the bridge, although there were guys up there filling potholes on the bridge. And the ship lost its power and couldn't steer, and I'm glad they made a mayday, because then the cops shut off the bridge so cars and trucks couldn't go on it, but they couldn't get who was on it already off soon enough. So the ship hit the pylon that keeps the bridge up, and in a very spectacular way, the whole damn bridge came down. It wasn't just the stuff on both sides of the bridge. It was the entire bridge from end to end, from one land side to the other land side. It just all collapsed, and there's this video they're showing on TV, and it is impressive to see how it all comes down like that. Even parts that weren't directly impacted, they fell down because the parts next to them fell down and broke all the tension that's holding the bridge up. And gee whiz, why didn't they put stuff around this bridge? You know, there are ships going in and out. Nobody ever thought, what if a ship crashes into one of these things that's holding up the bridge? Oh, Jesus Christ. So it could have been worse, but it's quite bad enough because there are 8 people dead from it. And it's also going to have an economic impact because that was an important bridge. A lot of stuff went over that bridge. Speaking of infrastructure and a lot of people going somewhere, they're going to be testing gun detectors on the New York City subways. And so far, what they've done is they've shown off a gun detection device that's made by people who have connections to the mayor. And this thing sounds bizarre. You're going to get people to just line up like that? People don't line up anymore. This isn't the 40s and 50s. People aren't going to line up to slowly go through. And you got to do it slowly if it's one person at a time, to go through this thing and get their guns detected. And people are going to jump the line. That's going to cause a shootout right there. And it's just rather bizarre, and it's going to cost people time. And there's the fourth platoon phenomenon, where if you have a line, the people at the back of the line get tremendously delayed compared to the people at the front of the line. And this doesn't seem like the workable idea. The workable idea is to do stuff about the iron pipeline that's pumping tons of guns into the city and stuff like that. Oh, geez, the silly things that go on here. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. So I was reading about the Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel split from 54 years ago. And in an interview, Paul Simon, who's 82 now, oh, Jesus. You know, he's older than I am, and I remember he was, you know how when somebody's a bit older than you are, you say, oh, yeah, he's really with it, man. And, oh, yeah, he was doing great stuff, and and now he's 82. Oh. Anyway, Paul Simon said that what he called, quote, the harmony of the friendship, unquote, between himself and Art Garfunkel was broken. And from there, that was it. They were done. They'd been pals since they were in school together. I think they were in grammar school together. And they parted ways in 1970. But the thing is, Simon says that the reason it really happened was because Art Garfunkel was cast in the movie Catch-22. And after that, Simon says, because Art Garfunkel had to take time away from there doing more music, it really messed things up, and it created what he referred to as, quote, an uneven balance of power, unquote. And Simon was expected to write the songs while Garfunkel was filming, and he didn't like that, and that's how they broke up. Oh, well, we have that particular version there. I wondered about it 54 years ago. I guess I finally have an explanation for something. We can open up the big book of R. Paul's questions and write in an answer to this one now. You know, sometimes you sing about stuff and it sounds very good and it doesn't work out in real life.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Get round, and
Oh, here comes the BAI pitching train. Watch out for that bridge, pitching train. Watch out for the bridge. Oh, the pitching hobos are here to beg you for money. Yes, WBAI is listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, and we are begging you for money right now. This is how we try to survive. We have to pay for a lot of different things, and, you know, it ain't free to have a transmitter working at four times square, and so we have to pay a lot of bills. We ain't been paying those bills, and we are in serious financial trouble at this point in time, and we are required by management to raise money. Now, the bare minimum, looking at the fine print part of management's email about all of this, original email about all of this, is if we can't raise $70 an hour, we're probably gone. And so far, we're not raising that $70 an hour. And we were given some time to do this, but recent things have happened. And, oh boy, we owe the folks at the transmitter, the tower site at Four Times Square, we owe them, let's just say, a pot full of money. We also owe the call center, which you will call to pledge. We owe them rather a bit, too. If either of those shuts down, we're sunk. So we got to pay them. And so we're asking you to go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950 if you want to keep WBAI around. There are also people in Pacifica who are saying, okay, BAI can't pay its bills. We're going to do something about that. What are they going to do? Well, we don't know yet, but we know that 4.5 years ago, a guy came in and shut down WBAI. It took a month of fighting to get it back on. However, there are now people in a majority on the Pacifica National Board who would approve of what that guy did. So we could have somebody come in and take over the radio station one night. This is how they do it. And we could have WBAI gone again. And you would have audio piped in from the West Coast mostly, and it didn't go over well before. It wouldn't go over well now. And the idea there is, yeah, some people say, yeah, it won't go over. So BAI still won't be able to pay its bills, and so then we'll just sell BAI. That's what some people have proposed in Pacifica. They want to sell WBAI, and that would be bad in a lot of ways, mostly because you wouldn't have BAI around anymore. It would just be gone, completely gone. So this is why we're asking you to pledge now. If you want to become a BAI buddy, you call that number, 1-212-209-2950, and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. If you want to make a one-time donation, you still call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to make a one-time donation. And when you call, you're getting the call center, so don't ask for me. I'm not there. And don't ask for anybody at BAI. The thing you need to do is just, since they charge by the minute, just as quickly as possible, make your pledge. 1-212-209-2950, and there are all sorts of issues going on here with money and WBAI. The station's finances are a mess. If you go to my website at glib.com, on the front page you will see a large set of letters that says Treasurer's Reports. Click on that. It's a big link. You click on that, you get to the webpage that contains the treasurer's reports that I, as WBAI Local Station Board Treasurer, have been putting out for more than a decade. And you can go there and see all of that. All right? And I'm hoping that this is not our last radio program. I'm hoping, and the last radio program there will be on WBAI, because if they shut down the whole station, no radio programs are going to be on, at least not from around here. And so I'm hoping people will call 1-212-209-2950 and say, yeah, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or you want to make a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book. And if somebody out there is a millionaire or a billionaire who likes Back of the Book, you might consider making a gigantic donation and saying, here, let me make a gigantic donation. Maybe the person who won the $1.1 billion lottery a week or so ago, yeah, I know they live far away, but maybe they are listening to Back of the Book on the archives. Yeah, sure. And they want to support it. Well, if you're that person, please call 1-212-209-2950 and pledge a couple of million bucks. All right? But really, we need people to call up. We need people to call 1-212-209-2950. Save WBAI. That's how you do it, by calling that number and saying you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or saying you want to make a one-time donation. If you become a BAI buddy, you call that number, 1-212-209-2950, and when they pick up, you say, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. You tell them what your credit card or debit card information is, and then you tell them how much you want to donate on a monthly basis. A BAI buddy is our sustaining membership. And what you do is you tell them you want to donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you can manage it. And you will also tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged. So you do that, and you will be able to get to be a sustaining member. And we really need people to donate. If people don't, we could be taken off the air. There are two ways we go off the air, one of which is we don't raise enough money and management replaces us, probably with snake oil programs and more Madame Blavatsky programs. And that's one way. The other way is the entire radio station goes off the air completely, in which case you still don't get us, and who the hell knows what the hell they'll replace us with, or if they'll replace us at all. They can just let the signal go dead and sell the license. So this is what some people have been plotting for years, people in Pacifica. And so this is something we need you to help us with. We seriously need you to call 1-212-209-2950, say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and make a donation. I hope people will do that, because we seriously, seriously need it right now. That has been it for Back of the Book. Coming up next is
Everything Old is New Again, Again with Dave Kenny.
Dave Kenny, again. We're scheduled to be back here in 2 weeks, and we are going to hope we have that. And it's spring, and try to enjoy it. April's coming up. It's going to rain a bit. Be careful if you watch the eclipse. Be careful you don't get crappy eclipse glasses that can hurt your vision. And cross your fingers that it's not a big rainy day that day. And above all, remember what that, hoping this isn't the last time you hear this radio program Dormouse sing.
You used to say that it was so this is Julian Gioiello, and I'm a listener and supporter of WBAI. And I want to shout out to the other young listeners of WBAI. We have to help keep the station going, and the easiest way to do it is through the WBAI Buddy System. If you donate as little as $10 a month, you have proactively promoted free speech radio. Go to the website WBAI.org, click the donate button, and make a difference.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
February 9th, 1964, television history. The Beatles made their American debut on The Ed Sullivan Show. And now, exactly 50 years later, plus five more years, 3 months, 6 days, a new batch of mop top heartthrobs has landed.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may have heard that there is a new musical craze sweeping the globe. It is known as K-pop. Yeah, and it's on WBAI at 8 p.m. on Saturdays.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
I wonder whatever became of me.
Now, will you tell me what happened on Saturday?
All mixed up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoon here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
New York City never slows down. It can be tough to keep up with everything. That's where WBAI City Watch comes in, Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock. I'm your host, Jeff Simmons.
And I'm Carlos Benchaca. And each week on City Watch, we try to make sense of it all, bringing on our policymakers, advocates, experts, and authors to understand the stories behind the headline. So grab your café con leche, turn your dial to 99.5 FM WBAI, or stream us on WBAI.org. Levántate. Wake up with us on Sunday mornings with me and Jeff Simmons, and get your news on.
The bells of hell go ting-a-ling-a-ling for you, but not for me. Oh, death, where is thy sting-a-ling-a-ling, or grave thy victory?
McDonough John and McCourt Malachy are on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, on Sundays from 11 a.m. Topics, wit, wisdom, wackery, sausages. Join us, please!
But not for me. Oh, death, where is thy sting-a-ling-a-ling, or grave thy victory?
Hi, this is David Amram. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 on your FM dial, and keep on listening.